Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind, and when you do so, not only will it open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back Denise Monge. After a decade of working at some of the most prestigious advertising agencies in New York City, Denise left the glitz and glamour of Madison Avenue to pursue a true sense of fulfillment and soul's purpose, which she found working with dogs. Upon certification through traditional dog obedience training programs, she realized there had to be more that could be done to honor the connection between pups and their humans. Looking for ways to foster those deeper connections, Denise studied with some of the top animal communicators and intuitives in the field and eventually developed her own unique blend of mindful dog training to help pet parents forge a loving relationship with their pups through the lens of mind, body, and energetic connection. Denise's proprietary process, translating beyond behavior, provides a roadmap to how your pet's behaviors can give you specific insight into the healing that is ready to take place. This includes limiting beliefs to process and which chakras they affect. Her integrative approach helps foster true partnerships and heart-centered connections that deepen the compassion and understanding of the lessons your animal companions are here to share with you. She uses methods such as meditation, energy work, animal communication, and pet numerology in conjunction with the fundamentals of traditional obedience training. Think of this as self-help for pets' sake. Denise received her BS from Boston University, her dog trainer certification from Animal Behavior College. She's a certified animal communicator and intuitive energy reader through top experts in the field and a member of the Association of Pet Dog Trainers. I'm going to give you her email address in just a minute, so please get your pens, pieces of paper out, because tonight she'll talk with some of you and you will be blessed indeed. But if you really want to go deep and experience what she has to offer, please contact her on the World Wide Web at petprana.com, and that's P-E-T-P-R-A-N-A. So let me welcome Denise. Denise, how are you tonight?
No, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me back on your show and for the lovely introduction. And I love how you identify yourself as a spiritual adventurer or explorer. I think that's so needed in this day and age.
Oh, especially now, I think. You know, we have so many different concerns going on about a variety of things, and we don't need to go there. But, you know, to lead a life from the lens of a spiritual perspective helps us get through so much of the garbage that exists in the world today. And so thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, one thing that the animals have brought through, and they started bringing it through to me in January, was this notion of having more fun, right? And that feels very discordant with the way that a lot of us have been perceiving, you know, what's been going on in our on the global stage, on the global platform. But really part of what they explained was having more fun is having more curiosity, right? Having more of that sense of adventure, you know, not looking at things through the lens of judgment and our perceptions of good or bad or how this is affecting me. But when we approach each situation with a lens of curiosity, then we can open up to new timelines, new possibilities, and the animal companions are holding that high vibration for us so that we can start seeing and perceiving things differently and create a vision accordingly.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, and I'm kind of taken aback at what I said when I used the word garbage, because that certainly is a judgment. We have learning opportunities every step of the way, and some people will look at them as potential problems or challenges, but really everything in life is just an opportunity to learn and grow, don't you think?
I would agree, and I'll tell you, I think as pet parents, a lot of us are highly sensitive, empaths, intuitive, and I think that as empaths, we all have been really preparing for this moment. Many of us really opened up to our spirituality, opened up to the possibility of seeing things in a new way, because we all have gone through a dark soul of the night, maybe a catalyst that propelled us along our path of personal growth and spirituality. And so we've really been preparing. We know the drill. A lot of us have been shattered into a million pieces. You know, we've had things happen that just really kind of break us down, and we're forced to create a new version of ourselves, to bring in new beliefs. And when we do so, we become more beautiful. You know, just like that proverbial Chinese vase that's broken and is mended with golden glue, and they revere it as being more beautiful. And so as we face these big challenges on a global scale, as pet parents, as empaths, as highly sensitive people, we know the drill. We've gone through it. Now we can help others who may be experiencing this for the first time. So there's really this lovely symmetry. And just as the animals are helping us, even animals in the wild, we can help our other fellow humans. So it's this lovely everyone helping everyone.
Well, the beautiful thing about pets or animals in general is they do teach us unconditional love, and that opens our hearts. And indeed, as you said, I think that pet owners tend to be empaths and also become more intuitive. I mean, we become sensitive to our pets' needs, and it's just a beautiful lesson that they can teach us.
You know, and one thing that they've been sharing is they've been Mr. Miyagi-ing us all along, you know, to pull a reference from the Karate Kid, because they not only teach us unconditional love, they teach us to change our perception of things, to look at things in a different lens. And even doing things as simple as, you know, doing dog training, that teaches us, right? We see something we're not thrilled with, whether it's our dog having accidents, our dog barking, whatever that may be, or our cat having accidents, or, you know, not getting along with another cat in the house. And then they teach us to shift our perceptions, because whereas in the beginning we might think that has nothing to do with us or our energy or our energetic terrain, we start realizing when we live more mindfully with them that our energy actually does affect, you know, how they're behaving, what's going on, their attitudes. So we're invited to shift our perception of their behavior as being annoying or a nuisance into an opportunity for growth. And then we hold a vision for what we'd like to see instead, which is a more harmonious household among our cats, or a dog that's not barking on leash. And then we put inspired action, right? And then we put inspired action against that vision through actual training, and we shape a new reality. So they've really been teaching us how to manifest new changes, new timelines this entire time through very simple, straightforward things like dog training.
Well, I was laughing because I don't know if you could hear, one of my dogs was barking in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I say one of my dogs. I have to let the listeners and callers know that I had to put one of my animals down yesterday, and I'm feeling low tonight. And I'm so glad to have you on, and I think this is a perfect show for me to be a part of, because I just love pets so much, and they've opened my heart in incredible ways. I've had many pets over the years, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of them.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to hear about that. That's always tough, no matter how much we know we're connected in the energy and the relationship lives on. That's always one of the most difficult aspects of being a pet parent and pet guardian. And one thing that's really unique about Remy, which I wanted to share with you if you're okay with it, is that his name vibrates at a 9, right? And that's that old soul compassionate number. And today is September, which is the 9th month of the year, and the 18th day of September, which is also adds up to 9. So there's a lot of this amplified 9 energy. And when we see amplified 9 energy like that, it's really a call to arms for the light workers to come together to create a more healing environment for all of humanity. So it just sounds like Remy had a lot of that beautiful 9 energy, helped you tap into your kind of light worker. 9 also is the completion of chapters, right? So he's moving on to the next chapter with you. He's not gone. Now he's going to connect with you in the ethers. And that's going to help expand you in a whole new way too. So that's just a little something that I observed given the 9, which are such a powerful number.
Thank you. I will say this. My husband has heard her several times since she passed, and he's a very spiritual person, but it's taken him by surprise. He's heard her running along through the house with her little collar tinkling. Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate everything you said.
And that's always a difficult thing, but you know, it's a lot of times when our animal companions are getting ready to transition, they really amp up those sounds and those noises, because those are the things that we're able to pick up on after they've gone, at ways to sense their energy. So that through that clairaudience, the jingling of the collars, sometimes I'll talk to clients who have, you know, lost their animal companions, and they say, you know, I just feel my cat up against my leg when I wake up, and so much so that I look down and they're not there. But those are little things that they can do, those little picadillos that they've kind of set the stage for when they were embodied, are ways that they still connect with us on the other side. It's like their calling cards.
They're such spiritual beings. I mean, they're in some ways, I think, more evolved than humans. But again, another judgment.
Well, they definitely have the psychic connection thing down pat, for sure. And, you know, they're working with us on that, and we open up and become more attuned. And, man, they're holding higher vibrations and higher frequencies and even, you know, higher consciousness. And when I say higher, I mean higher vibrational, less dense. So that as we clear out some of our dense energy, we're able to tap in through them to different realms, you know, whether it be like fairy realms or, you know, mystical realms or even galactic realms. They really do embody and hold that energy so that we can acclimate as humans to that energy and begin tapping into it ourselves without having to use them as the intermediate point.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Well, Denise, what's new in your world?
Well, we are definitely, you know, this reset period has been a really interesting time. You know, a lot of people bringing animals into their homes. And what I've noticed during this whole reset period has been actually a shift in the balance of who's taking care of whom. You know, really what's been coming through is the animal companions are showing less and less behavioral issues, and they're really acting as the caregivers as the humans kind of come to terms with all the changes going on and what's next. And in that lovely collaboration and that space, I've found so many of my pet parents reaching out to me saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to start my spiritual business, or I'm ready to optimize or really put myself out there in a new way. And so I've actually been doing a lot of consulting for and branding services and marketing services for, you know, individuals who are like, I'm ready to step out, but I want to do it mindfully. Can you help? So creating people's unique positioning within the market has been something that has been so much fun to do. And at the end of the day, when the human's more fulfilled, the animal companion benefits from that sense of fulfillment as well. So there's this lovely dance that has been going on for the past few months that I've observed.
Wonderful, wonderful. I love hearing about things like that. Well, why don't you tell the callers and listeners what it is that you can offer to them, and then also what kinds of questions or requests you are willing to accept from the callers. We do have several people on
Absolutely.
The line tonight.
Lovely. Well, I am a traditionally trained dog trainer. I like to say I'm traditionally trained, but, you know, it's all positive reinforcement. So I started this whole journey with the animals because I left advertising after, you know, 10 years working in the industry, and I was called to work with the animals. And the first way that I connected with them was through traditional dog training with a focus on positive reinforcement. And from there, I started observing a lot more closely the relationship between the dogs and the humans and how the energy was kind of playing off each other, and how, you know, when dogs presented certain behaviors, it linked back to certain themes, especially associated with the chakras and the humans. And so when we started talking about, you know, with the humans, what those themes were, that's when the dog's behavior started shifting. So, for example, with on-leash reactivity, I had so many people contacting me being like, my dog's barking on leash, he's barking at everything. And I kept noticing that a lot of these humans were either in between jobs or maybe weren't feeling very secure in their relationship with their partner. There was a lot of this lack of feeling grounded. You know, then the following month, I got a lot of calls about separation anxiety, and I realized it in the human's life, there was this repetitive pattern of, you know, the human not really standing up and making their needs known, kind of bending over backwards, acting as martyrs for everyone else in their family, being in servitude, not in service. So throughout that process of traditional dog training, I really developed this roadmap where we're able to look at what's going on in your world with your pet and extrapolate what energetic patterns and views and beliefs they're bringing up for us to revisit. And so I like to think of it as kind of like a holistic approach to pet guardianship. So I offer everything from, you know, advice and remote sessions on specific dog training behaviors like on-leash barking, separation anxiety, independence training, you know, if you're bringing a puppy home, what do I do? And then I always try to bake in some mindfulness because energy matters. So one thing I offer is traditional training sessions with a little bit of the lens of the mindfulness. The second thing I offer is just animal communication sessions. A lot of my clients call me because they just want to know what's going on with their dog. You know, are there any messages coming through their animal companions? And in those sessions, it's always so interesting because we'll probably see some of this today. Different animal communicators get different sorts of information. Some get this notion, you know, some get like, I like this ball, I like that toy. Other animal communicators are medical intuitive, right? They get, oh, this hurts, or I'm having trouble here, or, you know, what's going on in their bodies. What the animal companions tend to bring me is what's going on in their humans' lives. Because when the human vibes higher and moves through energetic clutter, it benefits them as well. So whenever I do an animal communication session, people walk out, they're like, oh, my God, you're more of a life coach than an animal communicator at this point. And it's always these loving messages delivered through the animals because it's going to benefit the animals at the end of the day when we move through these things. And then the third thing that I'm actually really excited to offer, and it just is something that happened in the past couple of weeks, I've been feeling a calling during this reset period as, you know, people are spending more time alone, you know, in their own energy and really revisiting what's important to them. I've seen such a resurgence of people saying, I want to open up to my gifts now. I'm ready to step out. And the world really truly needs more light workers and people stepping into their purpose work because there's so much chaos going on. So what I created is a very intimate membership called the Pet Prana Soul Pack Membership Group. And it's a group, an intimate group. There's monthly membership and annual membership, but it's a group for pet parents, pet groupies, or even just people who feel connected with animals. And its objective is for you to tap into your own intuition, your own personal growth, alongside a community who's really supportive and along on the same path. So every month we have, you know, guided journeys that I send out that are, you know, based on the theme of the month. There's a group animal oracle card reading. Try to say that five times fast. There's lots of Q&A with many readings for the group so we can kind of get in and really identify what's going on for you on a monthly basis, what you need to work on that month. And then I'm bringing in guests. Speakers about everything, talking about pets, the spirituality, and it's just really for people who want that content. There's a Pet Prana library that you have access to that is all my courses, all my information, all my resources. I think right now it's up to 90 tools and resources and pieces, and it's just growing on a constant basis. So for those pet parents who are feeling that I'm ready, I just really want to like step into my best version of myself, that's what this membership group is for. It's not for everyone. It's not like super fun and light all the time. It's really all about that growth and transformation that the animals facilitate for us. So those are kind of three things that I'm really excited about these days.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And then as far as questions tonight, you know, everything's on the table. I would say it's a lot more helpful if you tell me what your pet's name is, if they're with us or if they've transitioned, and if you have a specific question, whether it's about their energy or it's a question about the time you spent together, those tend to bring forth a lot richer information than just my, you know, what does my dog have to tell me?
Sounds good. Well, we're going to go to the calls in just a minute. I want to let people know that I'm now doing a new show Sunday nights called The Healing Circle. And this week, our topic is going to be taking responsibility for our lives. The call-in number is the same, and the show airs at 8:30 Eastern time in the evening. So please feel free to join us. It's a talk show format where everybody, including the callers, gets to participate. So I hope that some or many of you will join us. And our first caller of the night is Michelle. And Michelle, you are live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hi, Michelle.
You're welcome.
How are you? Good, thanks. How are you? Someone wants to say hi. I'm moving away from him. He'll stop. So that's Mr. Cute Face, but his name is Bailey.
Okay.
He's a Beva Yorkie, 9 pounds of love. So I guess my question is, funny enough, he doesn't bark to go pee or if anybody comes to the door. He just barks when he needs more attention. I've been home since COVID started working, so it's kind of, I'm a little bit scared that he's going to be too anxious when I leave, but.
Yeah,
he's a good dog. Yeah.
He sounds amazing, number one. One really fascinating thing is, and there, I'm going to mention it because it seems like there's some practicality for the group. I can't hear any of the dogs barking, which is really interesting. So there's something about us tuning in as a group to what we want and what we don't want to want, and what we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put that out there. But one thing that's coming up for Bailey is he is incredibly smart and he wants to be put to work. So when he's barking for attention, it's not that he's being sassy pants or being, you know, spoiled or any of that. He wants to be put to work. And he wants to be a problem solver, in particular, is what he's saying. And of course, you know, I'm like, well, Bailey, I don't know how to break this to you, but you can't really help us with some of our human, you know, you can't go to the pharmacy for me and pick up my, you know, monthly medication. So what he's asking to do, what he's showing as part of the problem solving alongside you, is creating these little mini parkour courses in your apartment or your home. And even if you have like Amazon boxes or a couple chairs that you can kind of put in this little obstacle course, work okay. with him, ask him for commands, kind of zoom him around it, give him treats at the end, almost like a mini agility course in your home. Because
oh,
he
cool.
wants to show you how good he is at that. He wants to show
Aww.
You how good he is at collaborating and problem solving. So there's a little bit of this him wanting to impress mom.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the nice thing about that is that mental stimulation from a practical standpoint is going to tire him out. And so that's going to help with the separation anxiety that might ensue as your life starts getting into a different routine. So practice
okay.
that, you know, mini puppy parkour course, and then put him, tuck him away in a little puppy palace of his or a little space, and then you go out
yep.
for a coffee or you do your work. Start creating this energetic separation where he can't see you, and then that
yep.
way you work up to kind of everybody feeling okay about the regular
okay.
situation when it resumes, and he still feels really good that he got to show all his skills to you.
Aw, okay, that makes sense, because he is a little bit of a show-off, but thank you so much.
Yeah,
that
such a
awesome.
Prancer as he's, like, going through this. So amazing connection, and we definitely want to give him jobs to do because we don't want him to choose jobs like barking at people coming in. You know, he's done a good job not
yeah.
doing that. So
mm-hmm.
let's give him some really productive things to do.
Okay, will do. You guys both rock. And big hugs again and positive energy for you, David. I know it's a tough time, so thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for calling in tonight. Okay,
yeah,
our next
you.
Caller. Sorry about that. Was there something else you wanted to say to Michelle, Denise?
Oh, no, just thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh.
Very sweet energy that came in, so thank you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love Michelle. Okay, Bren is our next caller, and Bren, you're live.
Hey, hello there. How are you doing?
Hi.
So I have a cat named Simba.
Mm-hmm.
He's a
mm-hmm.
Tuxedo cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, is there anything that he's needing in terms of either food choices? Because I actually put him on a better diet. I have him on
mm-hmm.
raw food, and before it was canned, and he really
mm-hmm.
goes for the raw foods. And
mm-hmm.
and I put him on also some beneficial bacteria, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the gut. And so I just want to know if there's anything, other needs that he has, like does he
mm-hmm.
want more toys or catnip or something?
Mm-hmm. So let me check in. So this is actually fascinating. So I'm just listening real quick because he's bringing some stuff in. So just one second here.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you located, by the way?
Oh, New York City, the concrete jungle of New York City, Manhattan.
Oh, my old stomping ground. Where in Manhattan? What area?
Union Square, yeah, like Union Square
lovely.
Area. Well, yeah, around 17th
okay.
Street and 3rd Avenue, but near Union Square.
Yep. So I don't know if it still exists, if it still's open, but Namaste Bookshop
yeah.
on 4th
yeah.
Street. Okay.
Yep.
There's
yep.
a book there for you on light language
wow.
and galactic consciousness. Because what's coming through, I'm not sure how familiar or open you are to galactic consciousness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I feel that a lot, you know, in my life.
Okay,
and
good.
Yeah.
So the Lyrans and the light language of the Lyrans is coming through. He actually has this really beautiful connection with the Lyrans where he's showing me himself as like 9 feet tall. Like he's all galactic. He's all got that energy. So the fact that you've honored this really raw diet for him,
yeah.
It shows that you understand how majestic he is, everything from the name you chose all the way to how you treat him and your reverence for him.
Uh-huh.
He's also showing a big connection in it looks like Lemurian times, the two of you were connected with the Galactic at that time, and you worked side by side.
Wow.
So that relationship still translates now. So that's kind of what's coming through for you guys. So go to Namaste Bookshop. There's a book on light language or something that will just kind of jump off the shelf to you.
So it's by the Lyrans? It's by the Lyrans?
I don't know that it's going to be about the Lyrans, because there's just go and see what jumps out. Do some light language with your hand. If that hasn't started yet for you, that feels like the next step, where your hands just start kind of moving a little bit, like your fingers, almost as if you're drawing in the air.
Interesting. Okay.
That one's open up for you. So just go there, see what jumps out at you. That's just going to start opening you to the next step. So just go there, almost eyes closed, and point.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew it. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You bet.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. And enjoy New York. That I was there for, I think, 13 years before I moved out to L.A. So I know the area well.
I was raised here. I grew up here, so anyway.
Wow. Awesome. Big hug.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bryn, thanks for calling. God bless.
Oh, thank you, David. Bless you, too, David. Bless you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay. Our next caller is Jackie. And Jackie, you are live.
Oh, thank you, David. Hi, Denise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so excited to connect.
Good. I'm a New Yorker, too. I'm in the Bronx.
Yay! New York in the house. I love it.
Yes. So my dog's name was Wally. And I had to put him down Labor Day weekend. And he hasn't sent me a sign. And I'm just wondering if he made it over well. How is he doing?
So here's the thing about Wally. He is the reason why you feel you haven't seen a sign is because he really almost hasn't left your side. It's sort of like I've never seen an animal bring this before, but it was almost like he jumped out of his body right back into your arms, so you never felt the absence of. So it's hard for you. Like, it's almost like you're waiting to feel like the return, whereas he just never left. So he's with you this entire time. There's something really interesting about actually coming in for you, elephant energy. So what he's saying is you're looking for the wrong signs. You're looking for something dog specific, but he's going to bring you signs in the form of elephants. So whether you're seeing elephant art or you're, you know, an elephant print somewhere, elephants are the way that he's going to be different enough and to get your attention. Because he's with you, you feel his energy, it just never left. So he needs to do something un-Wally-esque, is what he's saying, to get your attention. And he's saying the opposite of Wally is an elephant.
Okay. Is that all right for him? I mean, shouldn't he be over there playing with, you know, his girlfriend who passed about 3 years ago?
So that's a little bit of that human linear thinking, right? The thing is, now that he's in the energy, there's like 100,000 Wallys in a bunch of different places doing a bunch of different things all at the same time. So I feel like him being with you is keeping him from anything else. He's omnipresent now. He's able to do a bunch of things wherever he wants. He's disembodied. He's free from the body, so his energy can go wherever.
Okay, as long as he's happy, that's all I care about.
Oh, yeah. He's happy. He's with you. He literally shows me going through the same routine with you every day. So it's like for him, nothing's changed. So he's like, yeah, I'm still here. I just don't have my little, fur body around me. But I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I'm doing stuff with her. She just doesn't realize she's waiting for me to come back or for her to like feel my presence, but it's always there. So she's never going to feel the like, ooh, he's returning now, so look for those elephant signs. He'll drop those in as just a reminder that he's with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Denise. I will.
You bet. And he says, just talk to him as if he was there too, because he is. So continue the conversation.
I do talk to him. Good. Yes, I do already.
Good, good. Awesome. Lovely validation.
Thanks.
From Wally. Oh, my gosh. Big, big hugs. And I'm so glad that you connected bringing in that Bronx energy.
Good.
Thanks, Jackie. Glad you're with us tonight.
Thank you. Take care. Yes,
okay,
take care,
you
David.
Too. Thank you so much. Okay, our next caller is Regina, and then we're going to go to area codes, and we have a few more New Yorkers tonight. Okay, Regina, you are live.
Oh, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Hi, David. Hi, Denise. Thank you so much for talking to me. I'm calling about my dear kitty. Her name was Gigi. I had her for 18 years, and I had to put her to sleep about a month ago, and I too am wondering, is she okay on the other side?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So let me just kind of feel into her energy. And you know, one thing that's really beautiful is we have a lot of this amplification of that Gigi, the 7-7, right? The 8-8 is 16 over 7. So Gigi is she's showing me, let me see how she wants me to put this, one second. So she's well, she's doing great. She's kind of glossing over all that to show me who she was. She's very proud of her lineage is what she's saying. And she's showing me the lineage of Cleopatra coming through. Like she had this like, this lineage from like the mystery school, and she's bringing it around as in telling me, she's showing me how she's like kind of energetically wrapping around your head and helping you kind of open up to these truths, your spirituality, your wisdom, and your knowing. She is your journey companion. She is with you for the long haul, even if she's disembodied. She's with you, especially in spiritual pursuits. So anytime you do a meditation, you dream, you're in the dream state, you're contemplating, she's right there with you. It's interesting because she comes off as, she says, you know, we had a loving relationship, but in some aspects she comes off more as your teacher, as in she had mysteries to share with you. And she would kind of, she'd be like, okay, she's almost getting there. She's getting there. Yep, you got it. There, you got it, Regina, you got it. So she kind of coached you through a lot of things, which is interesting. And she's very proud. She's almost like proud of you as her student, if that makes sense. She's really proud of what you both accomplished together and how you are. And she's just so regal also in her energy. We have a lot of regal animals, which is quite interesting coming through today. Do you have a specific question for her about the kind of decisions that happened toward the end of her life?
Were you ready to go, honey? Was that was I right in the decision that I had to let you go?
And she said that was not your decision. It was her decision that she planted in your mind. So she wants you to know through and through it was her time. It was her choice. She kind of made the situation for you to be able to kind of do the actions that she couldn't do in this lifetime. She needed a human to help her through that decision. So she wants you to know that. Release responsibility, release that doubt. It was all her orchestrating it.
Okay. And I could feel her on my head when you said that. I felt her on my head when you said that.
Continue to feel that. Because that's her orchestrating, opening you up, bringing an insight. Like she's working with you in that way. She's one of your spiritual guides.
Thank you very much. And my condolences to you, David, on the loss of your beloved little pet.
Oh, thanks, Regina. Back at you. I didn't know. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in tonight, and God bless you.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to move on. I've got two area code 917s. The first one is 435, and you are live. What is your first name, please?
Hey, guys. My name is Terry. How are you today?
Good. I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
It's Terry with a T.
Terry, hi. Thank you for identifying.
Thank you. Okay, how are you tonight, guest psychic?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to hear who you have with you and what's kind of coming up. And are you in New York City or are you traveling?
I'm actually in New York City right now.
Okay. Okay. So who do you have as a furry companion, or is there an animal on your heart that you want to tap into or connect with? Because there's some messages that definitely want to come through.
Sure. Okay. So I plan. Okay. So I'm moving. And my question is, when I move, I plan on getting a dog. So I'd like to know, when would be the best time to get her? Because I see, I'm intuitive myself, but I see a cute little poodle, and I would love to get her.
Okay, so let me feel in here. And so it's so fascinating because there's this energy of moving with you. I don't know if you're thinking of moving out of Manhattan or going on a trip, but there's some sort of trip, pilgrimage, changing of location that is looking to happen before this animal comes into your life. You know, even if it's just going to New Jersey and back, there's just some sort of like you need to displace yourself temporarily and then come back, and then you will be ready. It just that needs to happen before this animal comes into your life.
I plan on moving to New Jersey. It's so funny that you say that. Yes, I'm looking to move there soon. Hopefully, I'm looking.
Beautiful. Okay. So this poodle may be closer to the New Jersey area. Maybe it's somewhere in Connecticut where you see a shelter, but it's going to be outside of New York. But what this animal companion is asking that you do is that you settle in first and then you bring in the animal. Otherwise, it's just there's too much kind of shifting in the energy for you to land on her. So you need to land first in New Jersey or wherever you're going to go. And then you'll find her. And it sounds like you might find her through a poodle rescue versus a poodle breeder, which is interesting. So keep your kind of heart open and how she comes to you. But you do need to, the energy would be more sourcing if you relocated first.
Okay, that sounds good. That's what I'm working on doing now.
Beautiful. And part of it's kind of neat because part of it also is, that will motivate you to actually follow through and, you know, get the ball rolling on stuff. Because sometimes when it's just for us, we put things off. But, like, the excitement of being able to meet this amazing animal companion that you already know so well on a soul level and in your heart is going to propel you to kind of get the ball rolling.
Okay. All right. That sounds awesome. I can't wait. Okay.
Yeah. Lovely. Well, enjoy New Jersey, and you know, I'm very familiar with Jersey as well. So I'm loving. I feel like I'm in my tribe here. This is my pack.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So I'll talk back to you guys once I get moving and get settled in. I will be calling back.
Great. Always enjoy having you on the show, Terry. Happy trails to you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, area code 917-728. You are live. What is your first name, please?
Wonderful. Thank you. Hi, this is Casey.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, and I'm enjoying the show. And I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. So I'm in New York, too, New York City.
I love it.
Yes. And my cat is Angel. So I wonder, is she okay? Does she have anything she'd like to tell me or what are her messages for me?
Mm-hmm. So Angel is quite literally that, an earth angel. She does a lot of work, especially in New York City, in three different points that she's showing me. One is around 9/11, that memorial site. The other is around Ellis Island, and she's showing me another one. Let me see if I can help identify this. Interestingly, it's near kind of Empire State Building area, but a little more west. And she works with the energy. She almost manages portals, if you will, because there was so much pass-through and transient energy there, whether it was because people were disembodying or they were, it was like the first entry point of the migration. So what she works on, what she helps do as a side job, by the way, is she helps process the energy around those arrivals and departures that are still within the earth, within the land, because it's such heavy, such big energy from a human standpoint that the animals are really working to kind of release that little by little, because if they released it all at once and cleansed the space, which they would be able to do, it would just disrupt, it would cause turmoil. So she works with that, especially around New York City. So one thing that she's showing me as a reference point, and I don't know if this is a spot that you go to or she just wants us to hold this as like an energetic reference point, is that Bethesda Fountain in Central Park with the angels. That's something that she's just bringing to our awareness as a almost like an emblematic representation of the work that she and animals do in this very beautiful, loving, angelic way.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I go more to Riverside Park more than Central Park. So that's very, I'm blown away.
Yeah, it's really kind of neat. She has this really high vibrational role that she plays. And it's interesting because she said it's a side job because her full-time job is being with you and loving on you and reminding you of your worth and your beauty and your role here on earth. So she's working a lot of different roles and realms, but she's incredibly powerful, and when I see pets that are this powerful and masterful in working with energy, it's a reflection that the human also is that way. So this is everything that she's doing, all the inspiration we draw from her work, know that we're inspired by you as well and that you do big work as well.
Wow. You mean like in my sleep time or something?
Energetically, you hold space in an amazing way is what she's saying. Like, you do a very good job, and it's so natural to you that you don't even realize you do it, but you are really good at holding the vibration of a space. So, you know, if you walk into a place and it feels really frenetic, your energy alone, just your presence kind of soothes out those vibrational waves, so that rather than having these really frenetic high peaks and low lows, it just kind of smooths it out.
Wow, I wasn't even aware
of
that.
What a beautiful message. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say she seems to want a lot of attention? So I guess that's more about me stopping and giving her love and me love or something like that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's about the self-care, because she did bring in that whole self-worth thing that she's helping you work on. So it's
right.
That, like, you know, making yourself first, like pampering yourself, even if it's, you know, buying beautiful nail polish or whatever you love about yourself to adorn it and really look in the mirror and admire it. It's a little bit of that she wants you to do more of.
And with that said, we're going to need to move on. But thank you so much for calling tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for
You're
the show.
Welcome.
Thank you both.
Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much. I just want to remind the callers that we won't be able to get to everybody, but you can find Denise at petprana.com on the World Wide Web. That's PETPRANA for people who don't know how to spell prana. And area code 347, I'm coming to you. You're live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, my first name is Tamika.
Hi, Tamika.
Hi. I'm just wondering, are we allowed to ask about ourselves also?
No, honey, we're dealing with pets tonight. Unless you want to take that, Denise. I'm sorry.
I don't mind. If you do have a pet, if you tell me your pet's name, I think that will be really helpful, or an animal that you feel connected with, because then I can use that as an access point.
Okay. I had a cat. I loved him a lot. His original name was Sock from the owner, but I used to call him Neenikins, and he passed away.
But I'm so sorry. Yep.
Yeah. But I loved him a lot.
And so what's your question that will filter through him?
I would like to know if you see any changes with my current job with me, if you see me getting to go to another department or if things getting better or me leaving the job totally, and if you see anything with love.
And so a lot of what he's saying is that there's this holding pattern. So the way that we opened the phone call, if you were there, was that reminder that the animals help us see things, identify how we're perceiving what we're seeing in our life, changing that perception, setting a vision of what we'd like to see instead, and then putting inspired action, taking some steps. What your cat is showing me is that you know what you want, but you're putting it in other people's hands. It's been like a lifelong pattern for what he's showing me of, like, you know what you want, but either you want people to guess it and to fulfill it for you, or you're saying, I'm disempowered, I need somebody to move this chess piece before I can move forward. So he's inviting you to really think about what's the inspired action you can take to hold that vision, and are you truly clear on the vision? Are you focusing on what you don't want, or are you focusing on what you would like to see happen? You're really clear on that, and you know a couple steps that will at least get the ball rolling.
Cool. I've been trying to approach human resources at my job for a while to tell them, you know, I think I want to move to a different department, or I would be really good even in human resources, like moving up, but it seems like they won't let me.
Yeah. And so that's where they're bringing back that thing about childhood, which you're kind of giving up your power to this feeling that there's an authority figure that needs to prove it. You know, what they're showing is, look for the position you want at a different company. Like, who says you have to stick within that if you want to see a different role? So there's a lot of different ways to fry up okra, so try a different avenue. If you start getting your head bumped against a wall, try a different avenue. And this is part of the empowerment process, and the same can apply to the relationship question as well. If online dating isn't working out, for example, try something else. Ask a friend to set you up. Like, this is all about you stepping into and realizing how resourceful and scrappy you actually are.
There is someone actually I care about that I was seeing. I was working at the same job as him, and I was seeing him, and I left that job, and he still contacts me, and I would like a deeper relationship with him, but I'm not sure if he is completely single or if we'll ever be, but he contacts me. I don't ever contact first.
But again, there you're putting you're empowering someone else to drive the outcome. So it's sort of like, is that okay for you? Is that okay to be in a situation where you're not entirely sure if they're available or not? So, but if they reach out, then you know what I know it's not very clear what I'm trying to say, but what they're showing you is there's the perception that there's a lot of closed doors or doors that are half open, but you can't really get through them, because they're encouraging you to really pursue different paths. And when you pursue these different paths, different avenues, different people, different job opportunities, different companies, then you might find that the current company you're at all of a sudden is like, hey, we saw that email. Actually, we do have an opening. It's just creating momentum in the energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Tamika?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for calling tonight. Best wishes
to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Big hugs.
Take care. All right, we're going to take one more caller, and that is area code 267. What is your first name, please?
Hi, my name is Donna. I'm from Philadelphia.
Hi, Donna.
Thank you for hi. Thank you for taking my call. Do you
sure.
think messages from pets that have passed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. This is kind of my dog. Her name is Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me, does she forgive us, or does she understand why we did what we had to do?
So let me check in with Bella. And so Bella carries this beautiful 33/6 master energy of the cosmic parent. So the cosmic parent also has this energy of bouncing around through timelines, through dimensions, and also even sometimes different homes within the 3D reality. So she understands, and the way that I like to think of the 33/6, especially as Bella's presenting it to me, which is really interesting, she's presenting it almost as if she were the term army brat, that they're used to like bouncing around every couple of years. So they're really adaptable in that way. So that's what she's showing. She's like, I'm super adaptable. There's no need to forgive. There's no need for anything. It's just, she's very adaptable. So whether it's transitioning into another home in the 3D, going to a different family, or leaving this embodiment and going to a different dimension, she's great with that. She's wired for that. That's what she does. There was no suffering in that.
Oh, okay. But was she suffering before that? You know, when we had her, we had put her down.
Mm-hmm.
Her heart was at like a 4.5, and out of
mm-hmm.
5, then
mm-hmm.
the vet said she was suffering, kind of, you
mm-hmm.
know.
So what she's showing, because she's such a good bouncer between, you know, energies and realms and all that stuff, if her physical body was in pain, she would just kind of step out of her body a little bit. And then she would go back when it was feeling better. So she, even though physically all the symptoms might have shown that she was suffering, she never felt pain or suffering or anything like that. Animals deal with physical issues a lot differently than humans do. They don't have as much of an attachment, she's showing me, to physical bodies. So they can kind of dip in and dip out when they want to. If there's pain, they just kind of step out a little bit, and then they center back in once the body's sorted itself out a little bit. So that all is a long-winded way of saying you didn't keep her, you know, you didn't make any decisions that prolonged any suffering or anything like that. She was totally fine. She knows how to manage that stuff.
Oh, okay. So she would have lived longer?
I'm sorry, can you ask that again?
She would have continued to live a long time if she, you know, we
no, that's,
didn't put
that's,
her...
that, yeah, no, that's not what she's saying. She's saying that there was no pain, and it was her time to bounce to the next timeline, existence, opportunity. It was her time. It wasn't that she was going to live longer. Sure, like this was kind of what she had written as the narrative. This was the contract when she came in, and it's almost like she's showing me like renting an apartment, you know, in the city. It's sort of like you sign a lease for 2 years and then it's time to go, right? So that's kind of what she was showing, the transaction. There's no emotion to it. It was just her time to go.
Oh, okay, and that's what it seemed like too. It makes
mm-hmm.
sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks,
oh,
Donna.
My gosh, of course.
Well, I think that's a very good point you made, Denise, because I think that certainly applies to all of us. We do mm-hmm. write contracts for the lives that we choose to come into, and so that's a very comforting message you left with Donna. I like that very much.
Mm, yeah, and it helps us remember that they're equal partners, right? So if they're going through physical issues, if there's anything that they're going through, we're not doing anything, we're not causing anything. It's just, you know, they're equal partners, and we both decided that this was going to be how things were going to shake out on this timing
right.
and this behavior and all that stuff. So it helps us relieve a little bit of that guilt of, did I do something wrong? Because
yeah.
the one thing they always say is, never. It all is, you know, we tap into each other. We have these lessons. We're in this classroom together, and we're equally benefiting from even the challenging, tough times.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, for those that didn't get to talk to Denise, thank you for calling. Denise will be back on next year in February, so please check in again. And Denise, thank you so much. It's always a joy to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and much love to you and your family as you guys transition into this new relationship with Remy. And I'm just sending you all so much love and holding you in my heart. And you have a beautiful community supporting you through this time. So thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, let's take a moment to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. And the same could be said of our animal companions. And thank you again, Denise.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Good night, everybody, and God bless.